Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
And at age 23, Austin Cindric has scored.
Holy crap!
Checkered flag in the air. Larson, the winner in his home state. The Golden State Golden Boy is headed back to Ruoff Mortgage Victory Lane.
Bowman, the showman, has won at Las Vegas in overtime. Off four, final time. Checkered flag is out. Career win number one. William Byron will hang on and win at Atlanta Motor Speedway in dramatic fashion.
Hell yeah, boy! Awesome!
Ross Chastain is going to get his first NASCAR Cup Series win.
Oh, we did it!
Denny Hamlin sees the checkered flag.
What a drive for William Byron. He picks up the win tonight and the celebration is on. Kyle Busch will win this race.
Ross Chastain will win the Geico 500.
The ninth different driver to win in 11 races this year.
Crowd on their feet, and Joey Logano has won at Darlington.
And Kurt Busch will take Michael Jordan to victory lane in the Heartland, wins the Advent Health 400 at Kansas Speedway.
Denny Hamlin has done it. He's won it. He's finally going to grab the checkered flag in the Coca-Cola 600.
Checkered flag in the air. Joey Logano wins the inaugural Enjoy Illinois 300 at Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway.
Daniel Suarez is going to be the toast of the town as he captures his first ever victory as he takes the Toyota Save Mark 350 in dominating style.
We have Daniel's amigos over there. Yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to Motor Mouth. What a fun show we've got lined up for you today. That's Kyle Petty. Steve Letarte is in the house, fresh off the plane from his worldwide tour.
Yes.
Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, man.
Really enjoyed your pictures.
Yeah. Listen, I try to share.
You saw the Pope. Do you speak Latin?
No, they do in seven languages, though. They got around to American.
We speak pig Latin, but that's a little
That's a whole different Latin. That's a different
Latin. We're so excited to be here. Today is where you get to call and be a part of our show. Just dial 1-844-NASCAR-NBC. You can join the conversation. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind. Obviously, a big week for us as we are getting ready. We get to take over the NASCAR broadcasting for the rest of the year.
Yes.
Starting in a wonderful place called the Nashville Super Speedway. They could have called it the Super Duper Speedway. It would have been A-OK with us.
Super Duper. A-OK. A-OK Speedway.
Right?
Super Duper A-OK. I like that.
Last year, it was so exciting to get back there last year. But, you know, for those of us who've been off since November, on the weekends at least, you know, what's it feel like to
those of us that have been off since November? Is that what he just said?
I'm just going to say not on the races, guys. Steve, what's it mean to you to get back in the booth?
No, I'm excited. The first 16 races have been fascinating. Yes. There have been great races, a bunch of winners. We know all the storylines, and I would love to tell you why, but Kyle, I really think sitting at home, I haven't been able to figure it out. I know some of it's the car, some of it's new talent. There's a lot of kind of ingredients to the soup that we get to watch on Sunday. Somehow it's making great soup, so I'm excited perhaps more than anything to not just watch the races, but get down in the garage, talk to the drivers, talk to the crew chiefs, talk to the crew guys, and get their opinion on why we are seeing such a wild and crazy. I don't think I've had a shocking winner yet, Kyle, but it is shocking that nobody has won three or four races. Like, somebody hasn't gone on a hot streak.
Yeah, perfect. The word fascinating. It has been mesmerizing and fascinating, intriguing. I mean, every week's different. Who had Who had, what was it, Suarez, Buescher, and McDowell for the top three for the podium. Not me.
Yeah.
Intriguing, but not me.
That does sound like a Steve Letarte betting roster
but,
for the record.
But the point is,
parlay was, but it would have been high.
But the point is, as Steve said, is how do you wrap your arms around what this year is? How do you get a handle on what these years? And how do you weed through it and decipher why it's happening the way it's happening? Because I have no clue why that it's coming out and the races are playing out the way they are.
We could go to Nashville and Kyle Larson could lead 95% of the race and I'd go, okay. We could go to Nashville and Tyler Reddick could get his first win and I'm like, like the spectrum of possibilities is pretty profound.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge. And let's give credit where credit's due. Daniel Suarez in victory lane could not have been bigger for him, for his family, honestly, for all of Mexico. Yeah. You and I were lucky enough to go down to Monterey with him to get to do a show called Racing Roots, which will be on our YouTube channel. It's going to air again on there this week. But, you know, we really, and we'll see a little bit of it later in the show, but we got to see, I mean, for someone like that, there was not a path.
No, there was no path. Before him, there may not be a path after him the way that he came because he came such. I mean, he drove that 64 Volkswagen from Monterey, Mexico to Albany, New York just to drive a late model car and then sat in front of a TV to learn English, watching cartoons. There was not. And you know, we went to the go-kart track with him.
Yep.
And he kicked our butt six ways
from
Sunday. That's a whole other thing. But those kids come out to watch him. There were kids all over the place wanting to see him, watching him drive, wanting to talk. You know, at the Xfinity Racing at the time, he was running the Xfinity car and had moved up the Cup. It's such an amazing story, and I think his post-race interview when he was talking about people believing in him, he always believed in himself. Mm-hmm. His parents did.
His parents, absolutely.
We met his mom and his dad and his sisters, and they believed he hung the moon. And he showed them he did hang the moon. And I think that was, that part of it for me, Daniel in victory lane finally, after all that time, just spoke volumes of who Daniel Suarez is as a person, not only as a race car driver, but as a person. That was a big moment.
And a lot of people, I mean, a ton of people believed in him.
Yeah.
Family put it all on the line. Toyota
yes, they did.
Racing in Mexico, then Justin Marks, all the work that team Pitbull has put together. It's unbelievable. We are going to have a guest on the phone today with us. Eric Moses is calling in, track president. But now we are going to the phones. I'm just going to pick randomly. How about NASCAR? NASCAR!
Wow, random.
Welcome back to the show, buddy.
Hey, man, I'll tell you what, I'm fired up. NBC's got the coverage. Can't wait to see the new stuff you got for us. Excited for that. But with that being said, so we've had an off week. Teams kind of get a reset. Let's step back. Let's get a breather. Got a stretch run. And your guys' opinion, contender, pretender, either or, what is a team, now that we've hit the reset, that you guys really either need to see step back up, had it, didn't have it? What is a team, one of the teams you think that really needs to get on the horse now after hitting the reset button with a week off?
So I think the second half is most important for Richard Childress Racing, and this is why. I believe when I look at organizations and wins, we talk about all the different winners, right? But when we look at the points and the playoff rundown, that's the organization with two drivers kind of dancing right around that cut line. So I think if they're going to make a push into the playoffs, I want to go on record and say I don't think we're going to see more than 16 winners. So I think a win gets you in. But the problem is when you look at the non-winners, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., there are some big names out there still waiting to go to victory lane. So I really believe that RCR is the team that needs to come out the on fire or the hottest, the biggest streak, because they have to. Remember, a year ago, they were both in the playoffs, and they were battling each other for one spot. No. Well, right now, it's unfortunate to say, but I'm having a hard time getting either of their drivers in without wins the way the season is going. So I think the rest is going to have to be RCR or most valuable to RCR.
That's a great explanation. I'm going to go with Stuart Haas Racing. And you say they're dancing right around that. Stuart Haas Racing is not even dancing. Yeah. They got to get to the dance as far as I'm concerned. When I look at Kevin, when I look flashes from Chase Briscoe, but Cole Custer, where's the rest of this team been? They've got to start dancing to even have an opportunity to get across that cut line. So I think that's a team that has just a limited number of races, what, 10 races to get to that point, and they've got to make something happen very, very quickly, whether it's Nashville, whatever race it is, in one of these first two or three races. I believe that group has to make something happen.
And you see it there with our leaderboard. I mean, these are solid hitters. Harvick, Reddick, Austin Dillon, Eric Jones. Eric Jones, for the record, man, what a year he has been putting together. There's sometimes when you go camping and you get out your picnic basket, you look in there and realize that some of your stuff got a little damaged, a little wet. Eric Jones each time gets in there and he's like, I packed a full lunch. What is this you've handed me? And, man, each time he steps up.
But that's back to, that for me, Eric Jones and GMS Petty Motorsports, that's back to what Steve started off with about this season. I can say the same thing about JTG Daugherty. I can say the same thing about Front Row. I can say the same thing about multiple teams is, you know what? They've shown up this year. They've run in the top five. They've run in the top 10. They're making an appearance, and they're doing something that a lot of these teams that we thought was going to fill the top 10, the SHRs, all the Penske cars at one time, all the Hendrick cars at one. You know, there's always two or three outliers for every two or three that's in right now, and these guys are filling that slot. How are they doing it so consistently? That goes back to your comment. I'm not surprised anything happens at the racetrack.
Yeah, I mean, I think no one doubted Eric Jones's talent for most of his career. He drives enough other stuff that you're like, you know, this kid can drive. He just hadn't found this place of confidence and the right equipment and all the timing. All of that goes into it.
Yes.
But the expansion to two cars definitely has helped that organization, which it's funny because that could also hurt an organization, right? Yep. You have double the headaches, but you also have double the information. The expansion helped, but I wrote a name down here, Dave Ellens. I think that perhaps,
for sure.
You know, we talk a lot about Xfinity Series. We had this conversation on the phone today. Like, what's the identity of that series? And we talk about drivers. And shame on me for not bringing up some of the crew chiefs. Dave Ellens won two championships in the Xfinity Series, back-to-back with two different drivers. Like, he knows how to win. And you always wonder if it will move forward, right? How many college coaches go to the pros and can't get it done? Well, Dave Ellens has moved up, and while they haven't won yet, they have systematically improved. That, I think, is the hardest thing to do, is to keep kind of climbing that ladder. So I think he could be the one that could be the next Suarez, the next breakout win that you don't go, oh, wow, I'm shocked. It's more of a, kind of saw that coming. It was building up.
And I'm going to say one other thing about that group, and not this group in particular, but drivers, and Eric Jones, a Chris Buescher, Michael McDowell, a Daniel Suarez, okay, is, you know this. We all know it as competitors. You can get the confidence beat out of you. You can get it beat out of you quick in this sport. You come in here kicking butt on late models, kicking butt in the Xfinity Series, and then get your butt kicked for two or three straight years. At this, you begin to say, can I do this? Can I do this? Daniel Suarez saw Ross Chastain go out and do it in the same equipment. Gave him confidence. You see Chris Buescher. You see Michael McDowell. You see Eric Jones. They get that top five. They get that top set 10 consistent. All of a sudden, they're a different driver. They walk. Their step's different. The way they approach the sport is different. You've given a lot of guys, these top teams have given a lot of guys, they might have had beat down mentally and beat down confidence-wise. They've given them a second opportunity, and they're coming on strong.
And it sounds weird. I actually think when other either first-time or winners that maybe everyone didn't have on their list, it trickles over to that same kind of level driver, level organization.
Yes, it does.
So when Briscoe wins, Suarez said, well, man, I'm as good as him.
Yeah. I've been running back there
25th with him. Kyle Larson wins a lot.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man, he's really good. And he's you know, he's at one of the best teams, right? Or Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't really help you, right? But then you see Chastain.
That's exactly
right,
man.
Briscoe and then Suarez. So then does that mean Jones and Reddick, are they in their thing? So why can't it be us?
Yeah.
Let's find out. Let's take a call. Sam is on the line from Michigan. Sam, an Eric Jones question. What you got?
Hi, guys. This is my first time being on the show. I'm kind of nervous, but...
Hey, don't be nervous. Thanks for joining us. This is awesome.
We're nervous to be talking to you, man. We're a nervous wreck.
Yeah. Well, Eric Jones has had the off weekend. He's racing at the Milwaukee Mile, I think. Do you guys think that he will get a win if at Atlanta or Daytona... to lock himself in the playoffs.
Sam, before we answer that, how old are you, buddy?
13.
13. That's so awesome. Is he your favorite driver?
No, Brad Keselowski is.
Okay, true Michigander right here.
I like it. That's,
hey, that's it. That's, it. That's awesome, it. Sam. Thanks for thanks for calling in. Great question.
So the beauty for the 43 cars. So the answer to his question is I don't see him winning to get into the playoffs. Hmm. But now the positive I'm going to spin it as, he listed Atlanta and Daytona as the plate tracks. I don't think he has to look at just plate tracks.
Yes.
I actually think he can win. Like,
that's a great
point. You know, for years we'd be like, oh, Daytona, Atlanta, or Daytona, Talladega, that's kind of their only chance.
Yep.
So while I am going to be a little negative Nelly and say I don't think he's going to win, no knock on him, I just don't believe it in my heart. That's my real opinion, not before the playoffs.
Great point.
But the flip side is I don't think it's only the plate tracks that he can look at winning. I think he has an equal chance at winning everywhere. It's just they're good. Here's the difference. They're good because you don't expect to run in the top 10.
That's right.
We need to get them where we don't expect to run in the top 5 or top 3, right? Like when a top 10's a good day, you're still not quite winning.
Yeah.
When top 5, top 3, you kind of get you kind of climb that ladder.
Listen, I agree. And that was the point I was going to follow up with. Is this let's look at Daniel Suarez. He led laps. He runs second. He had an opportunity. He got looks at wins. He got looks at wins. He wasn't completing the deal. But he had two or three looks already this year. Mm-hmm. We look at Ross Chastain. He gets looks. Mm-hmm. When you get looks at wins, which means running that top two or three, you're going to win a race. We've not seen Eric Jones get a look at a win yet.
No.
We've seen him get a look at solid top fives. We've seen him be a solid top 10. They are better once they drop the green flag. They are a good, solid race team. I think you're right. Dave's making good calls. He's making good decisions on the racetrack. But you've got to get looks. And they're not quite there yet. I don't believe that they're right. But they can run solid. And listen, all it takes sometimes is a lucky break here, a lucky break there, and you're there.
You can't rehearse to close out these races.
No.
You know, you can test, you can simulate, you can look at data. That's all great.
Right.
But that's all technology. The human element.
That's right.
Comes down to, right, like a golf tournament, you know, it's won over 72 holes. They all count. But those last three or four are the hardest because that's when you can see the finish line. Yeah. Same in racing, right? So, you know, and I'm a big believer in, just like as a crew chief, they didn't rehearse the time. They were like, hey, man, are you pitting or not? You have the lead. You kind of play it over in your mind, but until it's the moment. And I really think that.
Yeah,
now,
that's
Eric Jones
true.
Is the winner. He's won a lot of stuff, but he really wants this, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I just think you can't really rehearse those last few laps, those last few runs. That's what makes the Suarez win so impressive.
Yeah. So
man,
big.
He just put those last, a bunch of laps together.
Honestly, when Buescher got behind him, I think he just ripped the mirror off and just said, I'm going to drive, man. Because it was great. He hit his marks, run his pace, and was gone, man.
Quit looking backwards. Let's take another call. We've got Marcus on the line from Florida. Marcus, thanks for joining us. What's on your mind?
I was really just going to say, hey, I think Harvick, if he can stay in there and make those points, not winning races, not winning stages, make those points. As we go to races like New Hampshire, Indianapolis, Michigan, that he's done good at multiple times at, he can actually go out there and do good. We can't count Atlanta because, hey, we've got a new paved race, so everyone's getting used to that at practice.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
And listen, and this is the, I agree. If Kevin and Rodney can find that, what we talk about a million times at this desk, that blue-collar consistency, hammer it out. They can make the playoffs. Can they win the playoffs doing that? No, they can't. And it's sad to me that we're talking about Kevin Harvick just making the playoffs. We're not talking about him winning a championship. We're not talking about him making the final eight or the final four and making it to Phoenix. We're just talking about him making the playoffs. Making the playoffs. That's not a position this team wants to be talked about. This team wants to be talking about wins. This team wants to be talking about in contention. And I know as fans, you want to see your driver in that 16. But your driver wants to be in that 16, knowing he can be number one in that 16.
I just talked about this with Nate on his podcast before this show. I think we are all, and as fans are all, talking about how they, you know, making the playoffs. I don't think they are.
Yeah.
I think they're talking about how can we win.
That's right.
Because,
I do too.
To your point,
agree.
Kevin Harvick is a champion.
That's
Ronnie
right.
Childers is a champion. While, of course, they want to be in the playoffs, and deep down they kind of know they can point their way in, I think, you know, it's a talking point. They don't show up to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, they showed up in February to win races and be a championship contender. So I've heard it from so many different drivers over the years. you know, playoffs, like, let's win a race.
Yeah.
And I really believe.
Playoffs?
Yeah, playoffs.
You kidding me?
Yeah. Right. I mean, they want to win.
And you
race.
Know what? We've seen it from those guys before. They can do it. They can get there.
Yeah, they
just got to find that perfect combination.
And you know, it's kind of like the, you know, now that we saw it happen to Jimmy Johnson, I think it scares us all that we don't know if they ever will again.
Yeah.
Only, I don't think we ever could have believed it. And then Jimmy did it, had this cold streak that you're like, oh, wow, it really can happen to someone who is that big. Now, the counter is we've seen cold spells that once they figure it out, bar the door, they win a bunch.
So absolutely right.
And you know what? You know when it can happen? This weekend at Nashville Super Speedway. We've got the track president, Eric Moses, joining us after this break. Don't forget, you can call and join us 1-844-NASCAR-NBC. We will be right back.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
NASCAR returns to Nashville, Sunday, June 26th on NBC and Peacock.
Did you guys see that? That was Keith Urban over there. Woo! From Tootsie's.
Thank goodness. I thought it was Blake Shelton for a minute.
I know.
He completely lost it.
He looks
completely
great.
Lost it, man.
Speaking of looking great, we've got Eric Moses, track president of Nashville Super Speedway, joining us. Eric, first off, thank you so much for joining us, man. We are so excited to come back to Nashville and join you this weekend. Obviously, last year was a huge success. Can we expect that you guys are really ready for these fans, even bigger and better than you were last year?
Oh, definitely. And so glad to be with you guys. So happy to be back on NBC. And looking forward to inviting our fans back to see America's Best Drivers come back to Nashville. Last year, as you guys know, we were planning most of our prep during COVID. And so we had to turn things down a bit. It wasn't kind of the Music City representative that you would expect when you come here. This year, with COVID mostly in our rearview mirror, we're gonna have a lot more music, a lot more to do, see, and experience the entire weekend.
Hey, listen, a lot of times NASCAR, the Cup Series, goes to a new venue, and it's a huge success, and then the second year, it kind of begins to tail off a little bit. I was just in Nashville last week, did Coffee Country and Cody on the radio. The city of Nashville is more pumped up this year than they were last year. What's it like to be in that environment when everybody has bought into it and everybody believes in what you guys are doing?
It's great. It's great, and it feels great. And you know, to your point, Kyle, I get stopped a lot around town and thanked by fans for bringing NASCAR and the Cup Series in particular back to Nashville. People love this sport in our state and certainly in Middle Tennessee, and they're happy that it's here, and they want to help us to keep it here for the indefinite future.
Eric, we know there's a great time off Broadway. We've all experienced it, perhaps sometimes a little more than we should have. I'm excited to see the racetrack, as you mentioned, post-COVID. But I love talking to a track president the week of, because you kind of have that crew chief look. Like, you're confident, but you can see, like, a little bit of nerves. Like, take me behind the scenes. Like, track president, week of the race, what are the sleepless nights, right? We know it's going to be warm, but they said it's going to be dry, so it feels like the weather's kind of behind you. What are the things you're checking off as we get ready to head your way?
Well, Steve, you know, there's so much to do to get ready for our fans and to get ready for NASCAR to bring the show in into town and into the track. We had a couple things last year that we want to correct and improve, namely parking. It was a little slow getting into the venue last year. We've cleared about 20 acres across the street from the track in walking distance. And added almost 3,000 new parking spaces. So that's going to get people into their parking spots and out of their cars and into the venue faster. We also got away with the parking fee So you won't have to pay. You won't have to stop and hand anybody any bills. You'll be directed right to a parking spot and get you out of your car and into the venue. We've also invested in more technology for our concession stands to process transactions faster and added probably 60 more points of sale so that there'll be hopefully an easier way for people to get through those concession lines. We're adding a grab and go area where folks can come in and grab something and go and get charged on the way out. So we think those kinds of enhancements are going to help the fan experience this year.
Right, they know us, parking food and a great race.
That's it. Wait, there's more, because Eric, you guys know that with temperatures, sounds like it could reach 100 degrees. You know, keeping these fans cool, I know, is a real priority, because there's a ton of things y'all are doing to really help not only shade, but keep everybody cool. Water stations. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, lots of free water stations. I was just taking a look at today. We have these big water monsters all around the campus that people will be able to fill up for free their water bottles. We're adding shade tents and misting centers and fans throughout the campus in order to keep our fans cool. Our partners over at Vanderbilt University Medical Center are also going to be out there helping us to make certain that we're monitoring our fans. And if you see some people who are having some problems, to get them into a cool place, cool them down, get them hydrated, and hope everybody be safe and enjoying this race. The 4 o'clock start, I got to say, is going to be helpful as well. Out here, we're fortunate. By 5 o'clock, the sun will be behind the grandstands, and you won't be sitting in direct sunlight.
Okay, so my question is this: we've always talked about country music and NASCAR being hand in glove. Last year, I came up to your suite. The governor was up there. The official ambassador of NASCAR in Tennessee, Darrell Waltrip, the king was up there. Yet celebrities, every time I turned around, I was running into somebody who was on the radio or was a superstar. What's in store for us this year when we come up there?
Well, more of the same, and hopefully even bigger and better. DW just had lunch with him, and he's looking forward to coming back out. And obviously, the king is coming back, and we're going to have this year. We've got Sheamus, the WWE superstar, is going to be our honorary starter. So he and maybe some more of his friends from the WWE will be around. We've got Kane Brown as our grand marshal this year, and so Kane and his friends will be around. And, it's Nashville, man. Kyle, you know, it's Nashville. There's stars everywhere here. We call this place L.A. Southeast, and we're going to lean into that and try to take advantage of it.
That's Cashville.
That's
right
cool,
there.
Man.
Hey,
that's
speaking
cool.
of Sheamus, we've got a caller. Marvin Blue is on the line. He's got a great question for you, Eric. Marvin, go ahead, buddy.
How you doing, Eric?
I'm great, man.
Well, first of all, I'm a huge WWE fan, and shout out to former WWE superstar CM Punk. But I got a question for you. Have you given Sheamus any pointers on how to wave that green flag up in the starter stand for this Sunday's race at Nashville?
Hey, man, given the kinds of athletes those guys are, he doesn't need any tips from me on anything, quite frankly. All I'm going to tell him is to be careful climbing the stand, because he's pretty big to be leaning over waving a flag at that height.
That's a good call, Marvin.
You know what's good, so man. Cool, man? Obviously this year with NBC and USA Network and how we're sharing our coverage and putting everything there, to see so many of these WWE stars. We got a chance to hang out with Sheamus at the Burnout last year.
Oh, yeah.
He was at the banquet. To see their love of this sport truly and genuinely, and the crossover so much. But, Eric, I just want to give you props, man, to hear you say, we were coming out of COVID and there were some things we want to do better. We were all there, and all of us were like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe how great the staff did. Please make sure you're giving yourself enough credit, man. Yeah. Y'all put on a great show last year, and every single person that I saw at the track said we're coming back next year. So I'd have to believe that you guys feel a lot of confidence in your abilities if you know that that was like your baseline.
Yeah, but you don't take any of this stuff for granted, right? We have to make certain that we are earning the support of our fans every single time we put on a race or any kind of event for that matter. These fans waited for 37 years for the Cup to come back to Middle Tennessee, and we want to make certain that they feel appreciated, supported, and that hopefully we meet or exceed their expectations each time they come to the Super Speedway.
All right, I'm going to put you on the line here a little bit. We have seen some amazing races this year.
a lot of first-time winners. What's your gut tell you? Are we going to see someone else that hasn't won this year grab another win? What's coming?
You know, it's been wide open this year with 12 different winners this year, and so many. I think we have four first-time winners. Trackhouse guys are running well right now, and this is their backyard, and I know that'd be really special for Justin and Ty and those guys over there. You know, I'd be on the lookout for Daniel and Ross. But look, everybody, for the most part, is still getting to know our track. It's relatively new to most of the field. And then as they get to know this next-gen car, I think that provides for a really great competition on Sunday.
Hey, man, congratulations. I say this all the time, right? Nashville's a great city, but when race fans have to pick where they want to go, the downtown area in Nashville makes it obvious, and I think that puts the pressure on the Super Speedway to defend. And last year, you guys absolutely did it, right? If you came to Music City for the you know, Broadway experience, when you traveled out to the racetrack, you were not disappointed. That's a big shoe to fill, and you guys did it. So
and you know
I'm
what?
Ready to come back. And
I'm excited. I actually am going to get to be downtown this week, and I'm doing the city view. So for me, you know, I'm really getting to dive into some of these cities that have such passion for the sport.
Yeah,
so
cool.
I'm so lucky. All the work that Eric and his team have done, especially with the city. If you see someone that looks like me downtown, it's probably me. And Eric, I'll wish I was out there hanging with y'all, but I think you'll also wish you were hanging with me. I want to find some fans that are ready to have a good time.
That's basically
downtown.
What everybody here is saying is the fans are the winner.
Absolutely.
But because we're back in Nashville,
That's so much.
So thank you for bringing it. Thank you for having us back in Nashville. We at NBC are really looking forward to it, man.
Well, we appreciate all the support. And for those of our fans that are coming from out of town, there will be all the Nashville brands you look forward to. There's going to be a Tootsie's Infield Club. We're going to have a 615 Beer Garden. Puckett's and Hattie B's will be out there. There are going to be all those brands that are associated with our city will be out at the racetrack. You'll feel like you're down on Broadway.
That's awesome. Me picking up my phone was texting for that. I think I better take second practice off.
I think pace yourself, Steve. Nashville's a big town. Eric Moses, track president, Nashville Super Speedway. Thank you so much for joining us. We sure appreciate it. We'll see you this weekend.
Thank you.
Kane Brown. Did you hear him mention Kane Brown? Oh, my gosh.
I'm ready. I'm fired up.
What if I was meant for you?
Oh, boy.
You
wait a minute.
For
Let me get this
me?
Right, because I don't follow a lot of wrestling. But Sheamus was the guy with the southern accent, right?
You asked him south of somewhere. We got lots more Motor Mouths coming up after this. 1-844-NASCAR-NBC. Call in and join us. And Kyle will test your accent and try to guess where it's from. Like the guess your weight guy.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Let me show you something, Ace. Watch this.
In the face.
Hey, I'm Austin Dillon.
We're about to win. Whitney Dillon, CEO of the Dillon Household.
He's looking a little stiff right now.
What do you want me to do with my hands?
I'm Paul Swan.
Hi, neighbor.
I'm Mariel Swan. And we've all been best friends for 8 years.
We're like high school kids.
I just drive the race car.
Austin Dillon's Life in the Fast Lane premieres June 23rd on USA.
Austin Dillon's new reality show debuts this Thursday on USA, and the driver of the number 3 will be on Motor Mouth Wednesday. We got Phil Parsons. He's going to be on the Dale Jr. Download Thursday. A full weekend of IMSA WeatherTech sports cars at the Glen Monster Jam. Round 16 is in Miami. That's right, 305 worldwide. MotoGP is in the Netherlands for the final race before its summer break. And, of course, NASCAR in Nashville starting Friday with practice on USA. And Team Trackhouse heads into Nashville, home of one of their sponsors, Tootsie's, on a high following their driver, Daniel Suarez, getting a historic first win.
Hey, what time's Austin's show come on?
I'm going to check it.
And I don't know. I'm trying to program it right now to record. I'm programming to record. I'm just asking. It's a serious question, dude.
We're going to find out with him, aren't we?
Acá está el regio. Acá está Daniel Suarez. Trackhouse Racing, auto 99, se encuentra la 10, cambio de toma, 5 segundos sobre Buescher, no lo va a alcanzar, Suárez se la va a llevar, Daniel Suárez será el ganador, se encuentra la 11, por última vez, cambio de toma, por favor, Acá está, le espera la 12. La recta principal. Venga Suárez. Venga Regio. Daniel Suárez se la lleva, papá, ¿qué te digo? Daniel Suárez ganador. Suárez logra su primera victoria en Cup. Suárez gana en Sonoma. Suárez ganador en Cup.
Amazing.
That gets you pumped up.
It really does.
It does.
Rick better step up his game.
Yeah, he's going to have to step up on that one, that's for sure.
I mean, can Rick roll his R's? Can you?
I cannot roll my R's.
Yeah, my girls all can.
The Nebraskan, I think we're going to just leave out.
Did you catch him right there at the end where he said 8:30 Eastern for Austin Dillon's show?
Yeah, I think
he did.
I think
that's what he said.
That's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Man, I love hearing that passion for their driver. I mean, of course, my dad was like, Martha, call the embassy. I don't speak the language. I don't understand. But that's the real...
I can't believe we went there.
It's the real joy of it. You know what? We're going to take a look now at one of the greatest things Kyle and I have ever put together.
It was fun.
Mostly because Daniel was there. We also were there. Greatest empanadas we've ever had.
That's a fact.
We're at the home of Daniel Suarez's mom. This is a little look into racing roots with Daniel Suarez.
How you doing?
Fine, and you?
Good, thank you. Gerardo?
Gerardo.
Hola.
Hola.
How are you, sir?
Fine, sir. And you?
We've never been here. Never been. And we're excited. Excited to see Daniel. Excited to see his city.
The town seems really industrial. Oh, look way up there.
Yeah.
High rises on the hill.
¿Conoces Daniel Suarez?
Sí, señor. He's very famous in Mexico and the NASCAR.
Could you take us somewhere that we can really see all of the city?
Like
somewhere get a really good view?
Yes, so we get a good view of the whole city.
Have you ever seen a flag so big?
Wow. And then this is Monterey, right?
Yeah. Just look how high up, and it goes all the way that way.
This is all new. I don't know what I expected, but it was not a thriving metropolitan area, and the amount of people blows my mind.
When you look around, I think, where could you put a racetrack?
I just assumed Monterey was a rural community. God, the guy from out in the country comes to town, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then you come here, and it's like, whoa, not.
Right. It reminds me of being in L.A., up near, like, the Hollywood sign. You look out there. The difference is, with this many people in Southern California, there is tons of racetracks, tons of car culture, tons of communities. Here, there's only one racetrack with this many people to still grow up as a kid who wants to be a race car driver, to be that kind of hero behind the wheel. It's a lot harder to do that from here than anywhere that we can think of.
Yes. Who did you look up to? There is nobody.
Daniel's home track is just northeast of Monterey. It hosts several forms of racing, and you can tell by the way Daniel talks of the venue that he cherishes every visit.
Daniel, what's up?
What's up, amigos?
How you doing? Nice to see you, man. Thanks for having me.
Man, this is awesome. I can't believe that you guys are here in the first racetrack where I grew up racing in Monterey. This is amazing.
So this is really the only place in Monterey to race, right? Is go-karts and road course racing the most popular racing here?
Yeah, and we do have as well the drag race. The drag racing here in Monterey is super, super popular.
How old were you when you started racing here?
When I started racing, like for real, 11.
How different does this place look now?
Yeah.
The racetrack is exactly the same. The racetrack hasn't changed a thing.
When you came here for the first time, was it like, I'm going to be a race car driver, or was it just fun?
The very first time, it was just for fun. I didn't have any idea about racing. That was something new for me and new for my family. So I didn't have any goals to be a race car driver because for me, that wasn't an option.
So being 14 or 15 in Monterey, Mexico, and you're thinking, I can do this. I'm going to do this. But there was no set plan.
Well, I do remember one thing. When I was maybe 16 years old, my dad and I, we had a lot of conversations about what you just mentioned. I had my dad say this to me a lot of times. He said, hey, you know what? Somebody has to start this.
Yeah.
Somebody has to start the path.
A father's encouragement, a son's determination. The Suarez family has given kids in Monterey a guiding star.
This morning, we stood at the top of that mountain with that flag. You remember what that sign said?
No, I can't read it.
The sign said, here, the impossible is possible.
Daniel, ever since you decided to come to NASCAR, you've been making milestones, but you've also been making milestones for NASCAR. We're very honored to have you as our champion.
Yeah, let's get right in the pass.
Oh,
man, that thing's fast. Dude, he's not even thinking about sweating.
No.
It's crazy.
Watch his hands.
I know.
He's like, he's not even, it's just little.
Do you know what I feel like right now? I feel like we're back in Bakersfield watching Harvick on a go-kart track.
Yes.
I feel like we're in Northern California watching Kyle Larson on that dirt cart.
Yeah, it's funny. You know magic when you see it. This is magic.
That's it,
this
man.
This is magic, man.
He's not just some guy.
He's got to be flying when he gets right here. Wow.
I know my man doesn't drift professionally, but he just drifted that
just drifted
whole corner. All right, how about this? Two laps, loser buys tacos.
Did you say tacos or let's go?
Why don't you think about it for a second?
That's not fair.
I think Daniel had time for a siesta, giving us a head start. But it sure didn't take him long to pick off me and Kyle one by one. It's obvious I'm not the professional driver in this bunch, but even Kyle can't hold off Daniel. A head start is no match for anyone racing Daniel on his home track.
Ooh, who wants tacos?
Good job!
That was awesome! All right, the winners have to get me out.
Okay.
Dude, that's awesome. I see why you love
that. That was cool, man.
Gracias, amigos. Tu coche es
Thank you.
Muy, muy, how do you say fast?
Rápido.
Muy rápido. After getting burned on the racetrack, I'm man enough to make good on the bet. Lunch is on me. But there's no losing when Daniel picks a local favorite taco stand to enjoy lunch. Daniel's friend Jesus tags along and hopes to learn the path to NASCAR success.
To Mexico y mis amigos nuevos.
Mis amigos nuevos.
When you go to like a Mexican restaurant in Charlotte, does it make you laugh? Because it's not like in your mind, that's not.
That is good, but for some reason, I don't know why, there is not these kind of places. And sometimes these kind of, you know, small places, they're very good.
Tortillas, cheese, meat, some vegetables. It's tough to mess up a taco, but it's rare to experience something in such a unique setting.
This is the most authentic meal you've ever had in your life, right?
Yeah, I'm watching this.
It's muy caliente.
Poquito.
Un
buen barbacoa.
Poquito caliente.
Man, the tacos are good.
When did you first move to the U.S.?
I was 18. And the very, very first time I moved to Buffalo, New York for a few months. And that was the first time I moved to the U.S. It's been 6 years now.
To Buffalo. Why'd you move to Buffalo, New York?
Because the guy that invited me to do my first race ever in the Toyota All-Star Showdown, he invited me to live to his house to help me to learn English, to learn the language. It was rough. After 3 months, I said, man, I don't know how people live here. Every single night, I had to use the little snow machine to move the snow to the side. Do you know how many times I have done that here in Mexico?
Never. had you ever seen, had you seen snow before you left here?
One time.
Ah, the pride of Mexico. Whether you say soccer or football, in Monterrey, either one translates into the biggest sporting spectacle around.
Did you play any sports in high school?
Yeah, I played everything. I was very big into soccer, but I played American football, I played basketball.
You did all of that.
No way.
And race. It makes a lot more sense that you would grow up here as a kid who wants to be a professional soccer player than a professional race car driver. Sure-footed, keen instincts, endurance, standout skills for the pitch are a perfect match to the cockpit. Daniel's a stellar athlete who also grew up around a culture crazy for cars. The Beetle is a passion for the Suarez men.
Who is it?
Who is it?
Hello, sir.
Hi, Hammer. Nice to see you. How you doing?
Come in.
Can we come in?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Good to see you.
Wow. Thank you.
Oh, wow. My. This is amazing.
This is a nice
shop. Yeah, he did a good job with the shop.
What's your earliest memory of Daniel helping you or playing around in the shop?
Daniel is a small boy. The person for this, they work here. Alejandro, please go to Daniel. I don't can work with the boy.
Just playing around with everything.
I was trying to help, and they went me out of the way.
Alejandro Suarez made a career from restoring these iconic automobiles, but he was willing to sell his shop so his son could live out his dream of becoming a professional racer.
When you saw him on stage in Miami with the championship trophy, yeah, what did that mean?
I don't believe it. This day is the best day of my life.
Daniel Suarez, he will be the first ever international champion in NASCAR.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I can't believe it.
When you were willing to sell the shop and say, yes, I believe in you, I know we can do this, what was that leap of faith like for a path that didn't exist at that time?
When I see that Daniel liked the cars and liked the race, I see in Daniel my life. And so, yes, I put everything for Daniel. If it don't work, no problem. I work again for the new job, so it worked good. He worked.
You say easy now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah,
now.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. Yeah. We're just going to put it all out there.
If it works well, if it doesn't, doesn't matter now.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
You. This Thank is you awesome. Very much.
Oh, man, that really takes me back, man. Yeah. I mean, what an amazing time. That was so cool of his family lesson. A couple things I remember. Number one, Rick Allen's watching, and he can roll his R's. Of course you can. Love you, Rick. Number two, Steve was really impressed. He's never seen that show or any of them, and I know Rick Allen has seen all of the
come on, racing routes.
And
now you're being rude.
I'm just kidding. I know you've seen all of them. But wasn't that an amazing experience?
Okay, so here, and it's the little things you forget. That kid came out to watch Daniel to watch Daniel drive, mm-hmm. and Daniel said, "Let's go to lunch." So he came to lunch with us.
Just brought him over, yeah.
And like his dad said, "Why not you? Why not you?
Right.
Tell me, Daniel. Just because no one else has done it, why not you?" And that's the attitude I think that we saw from Daniel after he won out there. It was like, "Why not me? Why, you know, I never lost confidence in myself." And I think that's something. His story is an amazing story in where he came from, how he got here, and what he's done since he's been here. But I think it's also an amazing story on who Daniel Suarez is as a person. Whether he played soccer, whether he started a business, he's going to be successful because he believes in himself. He believes in what he can do. That was really, that of all the ones we did, Kevin Harvick's was great. Kevin Harvick's Racing Roots was great also. But this one just inspired you the whole time you were in Monterey.
I love at the core of it what it shows you is really to try to get you to understand completely who a person is. And I still think for me the bar was before we went to Bakersfield, you and Kevin Harvick weren't that good of friends.
Didn't
really understand each other. No. And when we left, you guys were hugging and you had a totally different appreciation for the person he was. And for us, we also wrapped our minds around like, oh, this family went all in for
all
Daniel.
In.
Literally
all in.
Sell everything.
All in.
And then, like, to hear him talk about he went to Buffalo, New York, because that was an opportunity. And then as you're listening to him snowballing, you're like, this feels like Mr. Miyagi and the Karate Kid.
I want you to think about this. What if your parents went all in, sold everything they had, and sent you to Monterey, Mexico?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And reverse. If we just took Steve Letarte and said, for Steve Letarte to be a winning crew chief in the cup level and to win the Daytona 500, to win big races and do it, we're going to sell everything we have and we're going to go all in on you. I want you to That's what you have to think about. We think about coming this way.
No pressure.
But think about going the other
way.
Well,
and you guys did a wonderful job of telling that story, because the one thing that I think is most fascinating about Daniel is that he's done all of this with this continued infectious personality.
Yes.
He won a championship at Joe Gibbs Racing. He went cup racing there. It didn't work out. He moved on to SHR, moved on now to his 13. And at the whole time, I'm not saying he was always flowers and smiles, because it is a tough career.
Yeah.
But never, we talked to a lot of people in the garage, or people in restaurants, airports, whatever. Yeah. He's just always happy.
Yes.
He's appreciative. He's just an infectious guy. So regardless of his backstory, he's
that's
a nice guy. He likes to see nice things happen, a nice guy. But then we talk a lot about the fan base and the pressure. And I think what this really, the last couple weeks, has put in perspective to me is, I see the NASCAR fans in the U.S. So you say, oh, well, Chase Elliott's under a lot of pressure because he's the most popular guy. Yeah. I work for Dale Jr., right? But I think, I can't say we, but me specifically forgets he has this entire fan base, an entire country behind him that he's been kind of carrying along with him.
That's right, an entire country.
That makes the performance even more special.
Yeah.
And when you hear the stories about your dad staying after being the last person there, and we still see today, if there's anybody that is within earshot that wants a picture, wants an autograph, your dad knows that his life, this racing, was all built on gratitude. Daniel, to me, embodies that.
Yeah, he does embody that.
To see so much of the hard work that he's helped his dad rebuild his shop. He sent a lot of his own projects there.
Yeah.
I mean, he now is able to show his dad, I believe in you too, you believe in me, we're going to do this thing together. That's really special. Now, the negative to all this? When you line up on Sunday, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares you won last
exactly
week.
Right.
Nobody cares where you came from, which in the heart of hearts is exactly why we love the sport.
Yeah, that's why. That's
nobody
why
cares
this is a
how
great
nice you
sport,
are. Nobody
man.
Cares who likes you. Yeah. Nobody cares who's rooting for you.
Yep.
It's going to be great. Speaking of that, we're about to put this segment in the rear view. We've got more Motor Mouse coming up. We still want your calls. 1-844-NASCAR-NBC. We will be right back.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Let me say this. I'm going to tell you something. I will say it forever.
Oh, this is so exciting. This year on Countdown to Green, leading up to the races, we want your questions and comments, and we're going old school. We want you to leave us a voice message on Kyle Petty's answering machine. That's right. Starting Wednesday night, call 1-844-NASCAR-NBC and have your voice be heard. We will select a few and feature them during our pre-race coverage. It's your chance to say, let me say this, because we've heard it a few times.
Let me say this.
Yeah.
Life in the Fast Lane, Austin Dillon, 9:30, USA Network.
It's going to be huge.
Be there.
I love that we've got USA.
Let me say this.
And we're going to put some great stuff on
there. Yeah, I'm excited really about USA.
That show's a perfect one.
Very, very excited.
Guys, one of the fun things is that this weekend we've got practice, which is back.
Yep.
Practice. We got qualifying, but we also have a look at the playlist that the drivers are coming out to. First out, shout out to Dirt Road Anthem, right? My buddy DJKO from Petrie said he made that track. Talladega, interesting choice, Chase. We're not in Talladega.
Yeah.
But I get it.
It's okay, I got it.
These are the ones that they play, sometimes they get a little bit pumped up on. Stereotypes, a great one by Cole Swindell. Okay, Ross and Daniel, smart choices, always pick the boss's song.
Brad,
they got one.
Okay, Brad Keselowski, Lonesome, Ornery, and Mean. Is that a song or is that a description?
Well, you don't have to call me Waylon Jennings anymore.
Yeah,
that's all
you don't
I
have
know.
To call me darling.
Whatever it takes. It's funny, you wouldn't think Harvick is an Imagine Dragons fan, but okay, Chase Briscoe, shout out, Kickstart My Heart. That is a pump-up song.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
Kurt
that's
Busch
perfect.
Is funny. Margaritaville, that's more of a laid-back, let's kick her back. I mean, he blew out a flip-flop, stepped on a pop-top.
Well, at the end of that race, they should have flipped songs, man. They should have flipped flung.
What's your pump-up song?
I
I don't think I have a pump-up song.
No.
I'm a boring guy.
I don't know,
I'm pumped
man.
Up most, I don't know. I have a question.
Yeah.
How many times have you been around me where you think I need a pump-up song?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Goo Goo Dolls would be mine. Something by the Goo Goo.
I once saw you take a five-hour energy, and I was like, this is like that song, you don't spit into the wind, you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't drink a five-hour
sorry.
Still did it.
Nashville, baby.
That's right. We are so excited. We're going to see you this weekend on USA, on NBC. Austin Dillon Show, don't forget, 9:30. You're going to love it.
Life in the Fast Lane.
We will see you Wednesday for Motor Mouth. Austin Dillon's going to join us. Thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning in. Rick Allen can roll his R's.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.